Everybody had CB radios. Remember that? A lot of people had CB radios. And if you had a CB, you had to have a handle. That was your name, you know, your handle. And there was a guy, he came up with his handle, and he wasn't getting much response. He wondered why he didn't have many people calling him. And so somebody said, well, what's your name? He said, well, he said, my handle's the Guppy. He was a fish aficionado. He had a lot of little fish, and so he called himself after a guppy. And so the guy said, well, no wonder he wants to talk to a guppy. He said, call yourself Tiger Tamer after the tiger fish. And he changed his name, and guess what? He became very popular. So names mean something. It's very interesting. There's a fruit called, what do they call that thing? A kiwi fruit. You know what it used to be called? It used to be called egg fruit. And nobody would eat it. Nobody wanted an egg fruit. But they started to call it kiwi, and that sounds so exotic. And people started buying it. And in that, just a name made all that difference. Just a name. And so it made a world of difference when they just changed the name. So we know then that names are very important, and the name of our deity is very especially important. In Bible times, I think names carried even more significance than they do now. A lot of things would bring about a name. The name Benoni was the name that Rachel gave to her son when she was right before she died after giving childbirth. And that name means son of my sorrow. Now, that'd be kind of a tough name to grow up with, wouldn't it? I'd hate to grow up with people calling me son of my sorrow. So that's what she called her son of my sorrow. And you know, there's another lady, she named her son Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. That wouldn't be a good name either, would it? So their names mean something. And that's why I really like, when I'm studying the Bible, if I have access to a source that I can look up names, I like to see what the name means. And so names really mean something in Scripture. And so Rachel called her son of my sorrow, but Jacob didn't like that name, so he changed his name to Benjamin, which means son of the right hand or son of power. And I like that a whole lot better. I'd a whole lot rather be called Benjamin rather than Benoni. And so I guess if you just shorten it to Ben, you'd be safe with either one. But that simply means the son of Ben. Son of. And so son of my right hand, that became the name that we know him by. And in Scripture, names sometimes meant a character change, and that was what happened with the name of Jacob. The name Jacob means a heel catcher, or heel grabber, or deceiver, or supplanter. Those, of course, are not. I guess they named him that because he was a twin, and when his twin brother was born first, he reached out and grabbed a hold of his heel. And I guess he was saying to Esau and to the whole world, you beat me, bud, but not by much. I'm going to be on your heels the rest of your life. And he did that. He was very much a conniver, a planner, a schemer. And that's how he lived his life. And to a great extent. But God has a way of handling that. You know, we have to understand, you know, we don't get away with things in life. We think, well, you know, I'm smart, I'll be able to get away. God, you know what God does? He hooks you up with somebody worse than you are. And that's what he did in Jacob's case. He hooked him up with his uncle Laban. And I think he invented the word deceit. And so he really suffered, but still God blessed him because he promised him that he was going to, and indeed in time he did. So Jacob, God changed his name as he changed his character. Finally, Jacob began to grow up. He began to get things together. He wanted to come back. He had fled because he had deceived his brother, stolen his birthright, got the blessing of the Lord, and he lived for a number of years away from his family, but he wanted to go back home and back where the Lord had promised to bless him. And so he made the journey, took his little family, and he came home, his two wives and his 12 sons. And God had blessed him with a lot of livestock. He came back a wealthy man. And as he made his journey home, he learned that his brother was coming out to meet him with an army of 400 men. And that was scary. Amen. That was scary, wasn't it? And so he said, man, I got to do something. He's going to kill me before I get home. And so he came up with a plan. Amen. His plan didn't work so well, but I tell you what did work. The Bible says that he spent the whole night wrestling with God in prayer. And it was that prayer meeting, not his plan, but it was that prayer meeting that transformed his life. And he got a new name out of all of that. The Bible said that he wrestled with an angel all night long. And as the dawn began to break, the angel said, let me go. Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And he gave him a new name. He said, no longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall thy name be called, which means God prevails. Amen. God prevails. So that was that became his name. And what a name change. And I remember a Sunday school kid asking the question, said, why aren't there any grown-ups in the Bible? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I keep reading about the children of Israel. Amen. Just the children of Israel. Well, that's who they were. They were his kids, but they grew up too and had children of their own. And so Israel then was one God blessed. It, of course, is the name of the nation that God chose, the name of the people that God chose. And it signified a character change in the life and the heart of a man. And then there was another transformation that God chose when the man was a good man, but God wanted to expand his name. God wanted to make his name greater than it already was. And so he did that. And so we read in the Bible about a man called Abram. Remember Abram? We know him better as Abraham, but he started out as Abram. God called him. He listened to the Lord. He followed God. He left behind his family and went to the land that the Lord had called him to. And God blessed Abram. The name Abram means high father. And but God promised him that he was going to have a great heritage and a great nation and an abundant family. And that did come to pass, but not for a long time. When he was 99 years old, the Lord changed his name. And that's pretty old, isn't it? 99 years old, and the Lord changed his name. And he said, you look up at the stars. He said, that's how many children you're going to have. He said, look at the sands of the sea. And he said, that's how your progeny is going to look. And when he was 99, God changed his name, called him Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Now, how did God do that? In the Hebrew, his name would be Ibrahim, and some part of it comes from Elohim, which is the name of God. So what God did was he took part of his name and put it on Abram's name. Amen. When God takes a part of his name and puts it on your name, something happens, doesn't it? It's what he did to Israel, wasn't it? Israel. Of course, the E-L, from El, the strong one, or Elohim, talking about God. So God just took a part of his name and put it on his name. And it made a difference in his life. Amen. And that's what happened to us when we were baptized in Jesus' name. God took his name and put it on our name. Hallelujah. Amen. My name is Johnny Darrell Grissom Jesus. And if you don't remember the first matter, the one that matters most is my last name. Since that's the family name, Jesus. That's what makes us the church of the living God. And that's the part of our name that matters. Amen. So God changes names and changes our names. So the name means something in the scripture. And I love to do word studies and study what a name means. Sometimes it's very significant. Sometimes it really expresses the character of an individual and lets us see something mighty in them. God's name was progressive. The revelation was progressive. As people knew him better, they actually gave new names to him. In our scripture text today, the Lord gave this name to Moses. Remember, he said, "I am." You know, that's awesome when you dig into it a little bit. When the Lord said, he said, "What's your name?" He said, "I am." Well, what does that mean? I am. Well, I guess whatever you need, he is. Do you need a Savior? He is. I am. Do you need a healer? I am. Do you need a deliverer? I am. Do you need a provider? I am. Do you need a faithful friend? I am. Whatever you need, he said, I am. Amen. Whatever comes up, I am. You're not going to need anything else. You'll never need another God. I am. You don't need a God of the river and a God of the sky and a God of the sun and a God of the clouds and the rain and the God of the mountains and the God of the valleys. He said, I am. Amen. Wherever you are, I am. Wherever you're going, I'll be there when you get there and I'll go with you on the journey. I am. And he's just simply letting Israel know, whatever you need, that's what I am. And so he said, that's what I want you to tell the people. Now, understand that Israel had been in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. So they hadn't had a whole lot to do with God for a long time, perhaps. And so the Lord said, we're getting ready to have a new day here. We're going somewhere around. Amen. You and I are getting ready to have an adventure. Amen. And my, what an adventure that was, wasn't it? How God miraculously delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, and they didn't go out penniless. They went out wealthy. And God provided and blessed them in unprecedented ways. Amen. So, God's name then is very important, and it's he put in history. It's been he revealed himself through his name. Amen. The name of God, God's revelation, God's order in revelation. So God began then to reveal himself through his name and in many different ways through the scripture. The significance of Jesus' name. One of the Old Testament names of God that is very, very prominent is these four consonants, YHWH. Now, of course, it's not written that way in our Bible. In your Bible, it's LORD, all capital, uppercase letters. Yeah, have you noticed in your Bible sometimes Lord is spelled with capital letters, all capitals. Sometimes it just has the first letter capitalized. Well, that's to significant. That is to differentiate the Hebrew word that it comes from. That's why it's there. But this tetragrammaton, YHWH, these four consonants signify the Old Testament name of God. Now, there's no vowels in there, so we don't know how to say it. Why did that happen? The Hebrews so revered the name of God, they didn't want to blaspheme, and they didn't want to abuse his name, and so they made up this writing of his name, but they didn't put any consonants, any vowels in it, so we don't know how to pronounce it. In our King James Bible, that word is translated as Jehovah. Jehovah, that's how you'll see it. Sometimes it's Jehovah, other times it's Lord, L-O-R-D, with all uppercase letters. When you see L-O-R-D in uppercase letters or capitals, that means that word is Jehovah. That's what the word is. And so that's the significance of his name. But the significance of Jesus' name is he took the name, the Old Testament name of God, Yeshua, and he added the word Savior to it. And that means Jehovah or Yeshua is my Savior. I want to just make a statement here. There is a movement among people today that, and they're right, that, you know, Jehovah, as it's translated in the King James Bible, might be better translated Yeshua. Doesn't make any difference. Some people make a big deal out of this. As a matter of fact, there's a Yeshua that just says, if you don't believe that, then you're going to split hell wide open. Well, that's not true, because nobody knows. YHWH, nobody knows how you say that. Nobody knows. In the Hebrew, it was written in their scriptures. They would write YHWH, and that's just how they wrote it, and that's called the Kethib. And then they invented another word for Lord that they used to pronounce, so you wouldn't pronounce that one, which is Adonai. Now, in your Bible, the significance is it's Lord with the capital L and then O-R-D in lowercase letters. So that's the word Adonai. So it was okay to pronounce that word, but you couldn't pronounce Yeshua. And this is just let us know today, a little study here about where this name comes from, what it means. But the first name for God that we come to in the Bible is this YHWH, or we call it Jehovah, or Lord. That's the first thing you see in the Scripture. Now, it signifies Elohim, what it signifies in Scripture. The word Elohim just simply means the strong one, or El. El is the singular, Elohim is the plural. It's not talking about a plurality of gods, but it's talking about the plurality of the attributes of God. And so that's what it refers to. Now, Elohim sometimes in the Scripture also is used to refer to gods other than the true God. For instance, Laban's gods were called Elohim. It's even used in one place we'll get to when we preach this morning, that man is created a little lower than Elohim, gods. So it's used in both senses, but most of the time it refers to God. We call him just God, Elohim. He's our God, isn't he? Elohim. That's how we know him. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. God created the strong one. Amen. That's who he is. And then it became known by some other things in the Scripture. You remember when Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac to the Lord, and how God provided a lamb, spared the life of Isaac, and confirm the faith of Abraham. He had a name for him. He called him El Shaddai. He added to God's name. God's name is El or Elohim, and he added Shaddai, which means that the Lord will provide. Amen. God provides, and that's exactly how he's my provider. God my provider. That's how he came to know him. And guess what? He's still El Shaddai. He still provides. Has God ever provided anything for you? Has God ever provided anything for you that you couldn't provide for yourself? Amen. Boy, I could tell you some stories. I wish I had time today just to have testimony and let each one of you give a testimony how God provided something you needed. Amen. He's amazing how he does that. Praise the Lord. He's astounding how he can provide things for us. And he's still our great provider, El Shaddai. John, in the book of Revelation, calls him the Almighty God. Amen. The Almighty God. If he's almighty, then nobody else has any might. He's got it all. And he does. Amen. And he calls him Pantokraton, or Krator. Means he's the God that has all power. And isn't that what the scripture said? Jesus said that, didn't he? He said that therefore there's he had received all power in heaven and in earth. So if he has all power, then nobody else has any power unless he permits it. Is the devil powerful? Yes. Where does he get his power? From God. God permits him in a limited scope to have power. But he's not all-powerful. He's not like, you know, some people get to thinking, we think in opposites. We think of cold and hot and sweet and sour and angels and demons and God and the devil. But that's where you make a mistake. God and the devil are not opposites. God is a creator. The devil is a creature. Amen. They're not in the same league. As a creature, he's very limited. Only to what God allows. That's all he has. He's limited in time and strength and scope. And God's without limit. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I've heard people say, oh, the devil's been after me. I doubt it. He can't be after you and after me at the same time. He's not omnipresent. God is. Satan's not. He can only be in one place at one time. Isn't that good news? Somebody said, well, and he's not like, he can't read your mind. The devil doesn't know what you're thinking unless you open your mouth and tell him. But we're good at that, aren't we? Oh, I'm so discouraged. I feel so bad. What are you doing? You're telling him exactly the how to get in and how to tempt you and how to try you and where your weaknesses are, and you're telling with your own lips. He can't read your mind. As long as you keep it on the inside, he don't know what's going on. That's right. So we need to be careful what we say, don't we? Amen. We can reveal our own weaknesses through our own speech. Amen. Well, that didn't cost anything. I just tossed that in there. For what it's worth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he's called in the Old Testament the Almighty God, Elohim. And then we add a little bit to that. David called him the Lord of Hosts. Amen. And in other words, he's over all the armies. He's the captain of all the armies. That's what it called him. And then a little bit later, the Hebrews said that he's God. They added the Jehovah with Elohim. So he's Jehovah Elohim. He's the self-existent and the strong one. Amen. The word Jehovah means self-existent. Amen. He doesn't. That's why the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." God just started. You try to figure that out, you'll blow a fuse. You won't be able to get it. Because I don't know how he started. Where did God come from? Don't know. He's God. He is. Amen. And I don't know any more than that, and you don't either, nor does anybody else. He just is. I can't explain that. I can't grasp that except by faith. Can't explain it, neither can anybody else. He's just God. He is. He was. He is. He is to come. The Almighty. Amen. He's just God. And so he's the self-existent one. By self-existent, we mean that he doesn't need anything or anybody to survive. Now, we are not like that at all. We got to have a lot of stuff to survive. You know that? Amen. You try and do it without breath a few minutes, and you'll be in a lot of trouble. When you can't breathe, you won't be around very long. We have to have food. Amen. If you don't believe that, just do without it a little while and see. See how that works out for you. It's hard, isn't it? I don't like fasting. I do it every now and then, but I don't like it. Amen. You got to have a little water pretty often. Amen. Our title, it was an inscription years ago. I never read the book, but I don't even remember the name of it now. But it had a really neat little caption on it. It said, man can live 40 days without food. He can live 3 days, I think it is, without water before it really begins to damage your body, unless God miraculously intervenes. And it said, but he cannot live without hope. Hope's what keeps us going. Do you know what the worst thing about hell will be? There's no hope. If hell was 1,000,000 years long, each day you'd be able to say, well, I've just got so many more days to go. You'd have hope. But the worst thing is there's no hope. As long as we have hope, we can endure a lot of things. But when we have hope, we're in a lot of trouble. Amen. There's a lot of things in the Scripture we'll understand more clearly when we get to the other side. But the Bible says in the Genesis 4:26 that after the birth of Enos, which was the son of Seth, that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is when people began to call the self-existent God. And they began to seek him in a sort of a corporate worship of God. And that's how that all kind of began. It must have been a lot more like individual before then. And after this, it became a little bit more corporate. And they began to do it on a different theme. Brother, I don't have any bills here with me right now. I'll get some later. Amen. It's bad to be broke, isn't it? This is life. I always try to come prepared, but I didn't have time to get that together this morning. So, this is how he becomes known to us as self-existent God. And that's how we know him. The Lord will prevail. And then we have Jehovistic compounds. And that is, God begins to combine this name with other adjectives, and we begin to know him in different ways. It was Hagar actually called him El Roi, which means God that sees me. God that sees me. Amen. And so El Shaddai is the Almighty God. So in time then we began to add to the some adjectives that expound and expand the name of God into he's God, but he's God that does this and he's God that does that, until we come to Jesus. And Jesus simply means that Jehovah is my Savior. That's what the name means. Jehovah is my Savior. Amen. Yahweh, as we know it, is an unspoken name of the Lord. But I'm telling you today that Now we know his name and we speak his name. And he told us to baptize in his name and preach in his name and heal in his name. Amen. So we speak that name today with faith, speak that name with boldness, and we speak that name with fervency. Amen. So that people can know the name of the Lord and the power and the authority and the blessing of his name. Amen. And so God's unspeakable name has been revealed, and now it's Jesus in the New Testament. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus in the New Testament. Again, Jesus is a Greek word. It comes, the Greek word is eosis, and it's a word that is the Hebrew or the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua or Yeshua. And so that's the Old Testament of the Greek name, or the Hebrew name and the Greek name. You remember in the times of the apostles, almost everybody had two names. Peter is a Greek name. Simon was his Hebrew name. And Paul was the Greek name. Saul was his Hebrew name. So it was very common. Most people had a Greek name that was more or less equivalent to their Hebrew name. And the church predominantly became Gentile church. And so we call him Jesus. Again, there are some people that take this to an extreme. And there are people that say, well, he was Hebrew, so we can't be baptized in Jesus' name. We need to be baptized in Yeshua or Joshua, because that's his Hebrew name. Well, that's not what the New Testament says, is it? Amen. The Bible, in the Scripture, it said, call his name what? Jesus. It's his Greek name. Call his name Jesus. He's different in different cultures, and we pronounce his name differently. Same name. Of course, in Spanish, it's Jesus, isn't it? In English, it's Jesus, as we call it. Same name. Amen. The power's in his name. And so we use that name, we reference that name, and it's a very, very important name. The angel came and said, call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus. So before he was born, we already knew what his name was going to be. And it means the Lord is salvation. Amen. It's very interesting. Brother Urshan used to point this out, first time I ever heard it at a general conference. I thought it was pretty neat. There's a verse in the book of Isaiah. The Bible said, for with joy shall you draw out of the wells of salvation. The word salvation is Yeshua or Jesus. In other words, he's saying you're going to draw salvation out of the wells of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So when you see salvation in the Old Testament, you can say Jesus. Amen. But his name is, it's salvation. And so that's the name of the Lord. And she shall bring forth her firstborn son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Amen. And that's a magnificent name, isn't it? Amen. The name Jesus, it means so much to us. It's a name that is directly linked to his purpose. Look at this. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Look at, for he shall save. He shall save his people from their sins. So his name is linked with purpose. Let me say today that Jesus wasn't a common name in the New Testament. It was a very common name. It was as common as John or Joe is today. It was a very common name. So it wasn't that this was the first time that name was ever given. It was very common. And but nobody that was called Jesus was like this man. Amen. He made the name. The name didn't make him. He made unique. He made the name powerful. Now, let me give you another example. There were many, many little German boys called Adolf. But if I use the name Adolf, who comes to mind? Just one, huh? You don't think about all those little boys named Adolf. You think of one man named Adolf Hitler that brought infamy on himself. And so his name lives in infamy through history forever. He made that name and he attached it to something. And so Jesus did the same thing, but in a positive way. There were many Hebrew boys and Greek boys called Jesus. He took that name and he made it special. So, to somebody who says Jesus, the first thing that we really think about is our Savior. In our culture, I don't know of one person that is of Anglo extraction named Jesus. You? But I do. I know quite a few Hispanics named Jesus. So it's a difference in a culture. In our culture, we esteem the name of Jesus, and we wouldn't presume to call our child Jesus. To us, that would be presumptuous. But in the Hispanic culture, they're honoring the name of the Lord by doing that. They think, well, you know, there's. You know, I want to do something that'll honor God, and so they call their children by His name. So it's a cultural difference, and there's certainly nothing wrong with doing that. It's just a difference in our culture, the way we see things. And so they see it differently than we do, and so they name their children after Him. But Jesus made the name, so there'll always be, when you say Jesus, it'll make a difference. Amen. For good or for bad, but it's going to make a difference. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's popular to talk about God today, but just don't give Him a name. Especially that name. That'll get you kicked out of school. Yeah, it will. They'll kick you out of class for saying that name. And you can get sued for that kind of thing. Amen. And, why? Well, the scripture said, Jesus said, He said, you will be hated among all men for my name's sake. We're not hated because we have the Holy Ghost. You're not hated because you have a moral lifestyle. You can have all those things and still be more or less popular, but you start talking about Jesus and boy, people will brand you in a hurry. You're a fanatic. Yes, I am. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, I am fanatic about Jesus Christ. That's better than being a football fanatic. At least it has some purpose to it. Amen. That's right. Everybody's fanatic just about different things. Some people are fanatic about Antichrist. They're fanatic every time you say Jesus. It just sends them into it. What is it? My aunt used to call it a hissy fit, whatever that is. Every time you say Jesus, they just go, I mean, they go berserk. Big deal. Amen, because they hate that name. Now, they hate that name because of who we're talking about. Not just because the name, but their name may be Jesus, and they may still hate Him. Amen. And so the name of the Lord is revealed to us by its power. And in the New Testament, we know Him as Jesus. Amen. The name of Jesus comes to save us. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 11. It said, and such were some of you. Everybody say, were. Yeah. We were. We're not now, but we were. Such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So the name of Jesus then washed us and sanctified us and justified us. Just because of that name. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 is a beautiful verse that said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. The name of Jesus then is the name that saves us. And there is no other name that'll do that. Praise the Lord. There's no name like the name of Jesus. Amen. It really gets things going when you speak that name. If we say that name around here, people get excited when we say Jesus here. You go outside and they'll get excited too, just in a different way. Amen. You stand up and start talking about it in a classroom somewhere and it'll really get a lot of attention. Amen. You go to an atheist convention and start talking about Jesus. It'll get things stirred up. Amen. It'll get it stirred up if you try to use that name when you're issuing a prayer for Congress. You can pray in God's name, but don't pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That'll get them all stirred up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God there's a name that's above every name. The name of Jesus. And it's a name that still saves. Amen. I like what somebody said. It saves from the uttermost to the guttermost. Amen. It'll reach down to any level that it needs to reach to lift us up and to save us and bring us into a saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen. It wasn't very long. You see, when the church was born on the day of Pentecost, and it wasn't long before they started having trouble because of that name, right? Peter and John were on the way to prayer meeting. They stopped. This poor guy was lame. He's begging for some money, and they didn't have any. They said, "Silver and gold have I none, but we got something we'd like to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And man, they jerked him up on his feet, and his ankle bones received strength, and he went leaping and praising God into the temple and all this miracle. And you know what? They pulled them before the magistrates. And they said, "We want to know how you did this." Well, they weren't real bashful about it. They just went ahead and told them, but they didn't much like what they said. They said, "His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." In other words, this was show and tell, folks. They couldn't deny it. Been out there for years with a cup in his hand begging. Here he is running and jumping and leaping and praising God. And people saying, "Wow." And he said it was his name, through faith in his name. That's what did this. You're asking, we're talking. Amen. Well, they didn't much like that, did they? Praise the Lord. And so they just told him it was his name, through faith in his name. They told him, they said, "Now don't you, we'll forbid you to speak in this name anymore." And they were kind of bold. They said, "Well, we cannot help but speak and speak the things which we have seen and heard." And so they just kept preaching the name of Jesus. They brought him in and they beat him with whips. And they went back, the Bible said, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I mean, you can't keep somebody down like that. They just were excited. They just kept on worshiping the Lord anyhow. In spite of what they did to them, they just wouldn't stop. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible said there's no other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 said it's a name that's above every name. And Ephesians chapter 1:24 said it's far above every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come. Amen. It is a name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. The significance of his precious is that he is our Savior. And he's given us a treasure through the revelation of his name. Even that first church went out and the Bible said they did great exploits in the name of Jesus Christ. They went so far as to say that they would hazard their very lives for the name of Jesus, and they proved that. There were untold thousands of people that were martyred in the first centuries of the church because of this name. Because of this name. So many people laid down their rather than their faith. I do have a praise report. We had prayer for a man a while ago. He's an Iranian, and has been in prison the last 2 or 3 years because of the name of Christ. He was sentenced to death. They were going to execute him, and Christians prayed and brought this to the world's attention. And the praise report is that this week they let it. Amen. As a result of prayers, they released him, and Yusuf today has been set free. I didn't know this when we announced that, but this man, he is an apostolic Pentecostal preacher. And I don't know what group he's with. I don't know much about him, but I just know that he is apostolic and preaches this truth. And thank God his life was spared and he's been set free. We appreciate it. But there are others that have suffered martyrdom for the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Amen. And so we as the church today, we still have an obligation to love this name. Now, we do that in the confines of this building without a lot of fear right now. But things are quickly changing. Do you understand how fast things can change? Are we aware of how quickly things can change? Amen. It changes very quickly. And the things that we take for granted today can be taken from us in a relatively short time, and we'll not have the freedoms and the privileges that we have today. Amen. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing in our nation, we're seeing it in the laws that are being passed and made, and in the attitudes. I don't know if you saw this. I saw a YouTube clip of the Democratic National Convention a couple of weeks ago when they left God out of their platform, and they left Jerusalem as the nation of Israel out of their platform. And so they wanted to bring that back because they realized it was a mistake to do so. People were talking about it, and so they thought, well, we got to put that back in. So the chairman brought it to the Congress at that convention to put the name back in. It takes a 2/3 majority to do that. And so he moved that they put the name of God, our God, and Jerusalem as the capital of Israel back in their platform. And he called for a vote, and would you believe that it was voted down? A majority of people didn't want God in their platform. So he called for it again, and you know what? It was voted down the second time. And he called for it the third time, and it was voted down the third time. But as the chairman, he said, we have a majority. It passes. There was no majority. God was booed at a national congress and cast out of their platform. Now, they put it back in because a man overrode the will of the Congress. But that's why it's there. What am I saying today? I'm just letting you know the environment that we're in right now. Amen. We are living in an anti-Christ, anti-God environment in our world today. Amen. And I just want you to know that. And you know the events that happened this week, that our embassies, 3 embassies, were attacked this week. 4 Americans died because of it started out under the guise of somebody made a video that defamed the Prophet Muhammad. And that was the guise. That's not the reason, but that was the guise that all happened under. Amen. Well, Jesus has been defamed and defiled by men from the beginning. Amen. What was it Jesus said? He spoke to, when he was before Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would fight for me. He said, but my kingdom is not of this world. Amen. And that's true, isn't it? This is an eternal kingdom. This is a heavenly kingdom. Amen. And so we're not, you know, every time somebody says something bad about Jesus, we're not going to pick up a sword and try to kill him. We're going to pray for him, try to make him a brother, try to convert them to faith in Jesus Christ. That's our job. Amen. Isn't that what we're trying to do? That's our calling, isn't it? Amen. Isn't that what he told Peter? He said, hey, put up your sword. Amen. That's not what I come here to do. I didn't come here to kill people. I came here to save people. Amen. Shake your head like this right here. Amen. He said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Amen. People that hate you, said you pray for them. Don't kill them. Pray for them. They disagree with you, pray for them. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Aren't you thankful for that name today that's above every name? You know what? It still causes the sick to be healed. It still cleanses sin. It still washes sinners. Thank God for the name of Jesus Christ. There's no name like this name. There's all power and all authority in that name. Hallelujah. Amen. I think of a sister that was going through a most horrific trial. She had been drugged to by the state of Nebraska because she had a Christian school. They were charging her thousands of dollars a day as fines. Had locked her school, couldn't get in, and took her to court to shut down the school. And she was there. She was sick in body. She had heart problems at that time, and tried to get a doctor's excuse, and the judge said no. In spite of all that, you still got to be here, sick in body and in every way down. But she was sitting in court one day, and the lawyer was just up there just ripping her to shreds, and she just said a little prayer. She said, Jesus, I can't take anymore. Please help me. And when she said that, the Lord allowed her to see an angel step between her and the lawyer. And that lawyer that was just firing one accusation question after the other, he just shut up and said no more questions and sat down. Amen. God's able to do that, folks. He can shut up your enemies. He can protect you in the hour of your weakness, in the hour of your trouble. We serve a great God. Amen. And His name is? And His name is? Amen. That's the name above all names. Praise God.
Amen, amen. I am so glad to know the name of my Savior this morning. Amen. To be able to call upon Him by first name, the one who pulled me up out of the muck and the mire. Amen. The one that justified my life. The one that set everything straight. Why don't we spend a moment just worshiping the name of Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, I've come to worship You this morning.
Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. There's no other name I know. And bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Man, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, man, we had such a good Sunday school lesson this morning. Praise the Lord. Man, I can't sit down neither. Hey, man, that's just awesome. You can be seated if you'd like. I just realized I still had everybody standing. Sorry about that. Praise the Lord. That's all right, though. It's good if we get our adrenaline flowing. That you know, I did a little study and I looked up on the internet of different hate organizations. You know, I couldn't find an Easter Bunny hate organization. Nobody hates the Easter Bunny, and he is a fictitious character. He can't do nothing for you. There ain't a Santa Claus hate group. There ain't one. Nobody hating on the Tooth Fairy. So why does everybody hate this imaginary God that we serve? Amen. I don't get it. Because there's power in the name. Amen. You can call on the Easter Bunny all day long. He ain't going to show up but once a year, and it's going to look like the eggs that you died. Amen. But you can't do what Jesus did. Amen. You eventually find out that Santa Claus was really Mom and Dad. But Mom and Dad can't save you. Mom and Dad can't deliver you from your sins. Amen. But Jesus can. Amen. That's what we came here to do this morning, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a few announcements. I don't know what they are, so I'll make some up. I'll just give you the usual ones. Be here at 5:30 tonight. Prayer starts right here at the altar. That's where church starts. That's where it ought to start. That's where it ought to end. That's where we're going to do it. Amen. So when you come in 5:30 for prayer, man, pick a spot and pray. That's the best way to do that. If you do come in at 5:30 and you don't wish to pray, please be observant of the people who are. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Sanctuary Choir is at 4:30 today.
Sanctuary Choir at 4:30. Youth, we got anything going on Friday night? Not this Friday. Utes, y'all can go congregate amongst yourselves this weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord. So other than that, that was the announcements. Brother Jerry, do you have the prayer list up? There wasn't one put out. Amen. Does anybody have a need? Just lift your hand. Amen. Because I promise you, God knows. He ain't the Easter Bunny. Amen. He ain't Santa Claus. You ain't got to send him a list. He already knows what the problem is. Remember my guys in jail? I was over at the Mark W. Michaels unit yesterday. Let me tell you something. Those guys know you pray. Because they ask me every time I go, have your church pray for us. So there are 15,000 offenders.